Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. The Lord is wonderful. Let's start to read the verses in John 17 again, 21 through 23. Maybe someone can read them for us. John 17, 21 through 23. That they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, in you and me, that they may be perfect into one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Amen. That they all may be one. Even as you, Father, in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me.
Und wir können auch noch, oder kann jemand den Vers in Johannes...
Can someone read the verse in John 10, 30? This is a very short verse, but maybe someone can read it to us. John 10, 30.
Sie werden den Vater noch mich erkannt.
I and the Father are one. John 10:30. I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one.
Amen. Und dann können wir noch, oder dann können
And then someone could read 1 Timothy 3:16.
1 Timothy 3:16.
And confessedly great is the mystery of godliness, who was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed and on in the world, taken up in glory. It's nice that we can come together like that. It would be nicer, of course, to come together in the flesh, physically, but it's quite a good format here for that time. I'd like to say something as to yesterday, what we heard yesterday, because it is important that we may see it. To see something is different from just knowing something. And therefore, in this time, my concern is strongly that God may open up our eyes so that we don't gather more Bible knowledge or have a good fellowship with a good word in this time, or I hear a deep word. But much more, it is important for the Father, for God, to open up our eyes. Our eyes may be opened. He's praying in John 17 that we may be one.
Eins zu sein.
And to be one
hier. Er erklärt's ja. Er sagt, dass sie alle eins seien.
Is what he explains here, that they all may be one, as we are one, as I and you and you and me, Father. So what is talked about here is the oneness between the Father and the Son. And I found it was impressive yesterday to hear that the oneness is different from what we think it is, or how we experience oneness here on the earth. There are many onenesses on this earth, right? Have a look and you see that people can be one. You cannot say that oneness cannot happen at all. We human beings can be a kind of one. If people come together who have the same opinion, who have the same hobby, then they can be one. But the oneness which we are talking about here in the Bible is completely different. And this is wonderful, and that impressed me also, that here we see a oneness that is between the Father and the Son, and we only see that oneness here. And therefore, it is good to behold Him. If we see, look at that oneness that has the Father and the Son. And I would like to say something more about this oneness today, because we are talking about this Christ. Christ came to this earth and something new, completely new happened. Something that had never been there before. Why? Because there was a man who was one with the Father. Or you can say the Father was in him and he was in the Father. And the Lord must open up our eyes for that. That we see Him, that we see this oneness. And in John 17, the Lord prays at the beginning. We heard that this is a prayer, the whole chapter of John 17. And in verse 3, Jesus prays. I'll just read it to you. John 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Him whom you have sent, Jesus Christ. This is life when we get to know Him, when we get to know the Father and the only true God. And in the scripture, again and again, you see that Paul, for example, he prayed for that the Ephesians, for example, should know God, should know the Father. He asked the Father of glory that he would give the spirit of wisdom and revelation to fully know Him. And today, we need this spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need revelation from Him to see Him, to see that oneness between the Father and the Son. I want to say again, it's not a matter of having a teaching about oneness or understand in a better way. Understand or see more how the Father and the Son are one. This is not what we are here for. That's not what we are listening to this conference, but it's a matter of getting to know Him more, coming closer to Him, seeing Him more and how He is. And this is life. And this is the life that it's all about. This is the glory that the Father has given to us. This is the light that is shining today. And in point 2, I have written to knowing the Son and the Father. this oneness is something completely new. Like we saw yesterday, in the Old Testament, again and again, God appeared. He revealed himself every now and then and showed something of his glory, something more and more in a progressive way. And he appeared in different ways. He appeared in a burning thorn bush, for example. He revealed himself to Moses in that way. And another time in the cloud. Different ways of God appearing. But when Jesus came to this earth, something happened that was completely new. Nothing from before. Something unique and completely new appeared and happened. That is, God appeared in a man, revealed himself, manifested himself in a man. And this is really impressive. And this is a mystery. If we read the Bible, there are many mysteries hidden in there, right? But this mystery, Paul even calls it recognizably great. It's the mystery of godliness, that is, that God was revealed, manifested in the flesh. He wants to be manifested in a man, and he did that when Jesus Christ came to this earth. He was made manifest in a man. And we have to quit all our concepts. We think maybe that God may appear through some mysterious way and a little great light appears or so. Jesus didn't come like that to that earth. He came as a man. And we will continue to see that when we have seen him, we could see the Father. And yesterday we read that verse in John 1.
Johannes 1 wollte ich noch mal anschauen, weil das
I wanted to see
ein sehr wichtiger Vers ist.
Again, John 1, because this is an important verse, I think, in John 1, 18. Maybe someone can read it out to us. John 1, 18. No one has ever seen God, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him.
Amen. Niemand hat Gott je gesehen.
No one has ever seen God. This is really something remarkable. God is invisible. He cannot be seen. And no one has ever seen God. And I liked how it came out yesterday that his desire is to be revealed, to be made manifest. His concern is, his desire is to be manifested. And he appeared again and again, and people could see something of his glory. But here, the one came who was with the Father, and he came expressly, intentionally to make him known to us. He wants to declare the Father to us.
Den lebendigen Gott sehen.
Through him we could see the living God.
Und dafür ist der Herr auf diese Erde gekommen.
And for that reason, he came, the Lord came to this earth. And I would like to read another paragraph, which is quite remarkable as well.
Als der Herr auf der Erde war,
when the Lord came to this earth, some saw him. Some recognized him. So the Lord asked, for example, to his disciples, "What do people think who you are, or who I am?" And Peter said, "I believe that you are the Son of the Living God." And then the Lord answered, "Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who's in the heavens." Therefore, we need light and revelation. the Lord has to enlighten the eyes of our hearts. In another verse, in John 6, the Lord speaks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And for the Jews, this was a word that was impossible because according to the law, they couldn't, were not allowed to drink blood or to eat a man's flesh. And many people left him at that time. But I was always wondering, because he was asking his disciples, do you also want to go? And Peter says, he also knew the law, right? Where should we go? You have words of eternal life, he said. He saw something, and all the disciples saw something. They saw something of what is around, what was around him, what was with him. And that is wonderful. And therefore, the Lord also needs to open up our eyes so that we may see when we behold him and have no veils over the heart. The veils have to be taken away when we behold him. Our heart should be without veil. Because otherwise we cannot see anything about that oneness.
Wir können mal die Stelle lesen, die ich, die ich dachte,
we can read this, these verses in John 14.
Da sagt der, der Herr, oder der Philippus sagt,
hier
Vers 8,
John 14, verse 8, following, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And Jesus said to him, am I so long a time with you, and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How is it that you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words which I speak to you, I do not speak from myself, but the Father who abides in me, he does his work. So he asked, Philip, I have been so long with you, and you have not seen me, known me, Philip. He who has seen me, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father. When you beheld him, then you were able to see the Father. So, honestly speaking, what kind of one is that? Let's turn our thinking. Let's rethink the things. He was not of the same opinion. Of course, they were of the same opinion, but that was not the basis of this oneness. They did not have the same goal. This was also not the origin of this oneness. It's really a mystery. So, you know, if two people have the same opinion, or the same doctrine. I don't have so many people around me here. It's just my wife sitting here. If a brother has the same opinion as me, and you see him at him, you still see that brother. You don't see me, right? But here, he who beholds me beholds the Father. Who sees me sees the Father. And this is wonderful. So the Lord was really a person who has manifested the Father. God wants to be manifested in such a way today. This is a mystery, and we would like to enter more into this mystery, right? So the basis was, we can read it in John 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The life is the light of man. Life is what makes the difference.
Also, es ist nicht irgendwie, weil der Herr ein moralisch einwandfreies Leben geführt.
It's not that the Lord lived a high morality life or did everything right,
sondern aufgrund des Lebens.
But because of life, life is the light of man. Through life we can see. This is what I want to stress this morning. Don't try to be one. Don't try to be one with the Lord or with the saints. The Lord didn't try it either. He was just one with the Father because of his life. And this life here was the divine life. That was the life that came from God. That was God's life. And the Lord must open up our eyes here to see that it's not a matter of anything else. Be careful not to get away from that life. This life is the basis for this oneness. Is the basis for us to see that life can be shared and light can be shared, and we see something and God is manifested. Praise the Lord. This is really wonderful. And I want to stress that there is not such oneness in the world. No such oneness exists in this world. The Lord was not of this world, right? This is also important to state, because we should not orient and focus on the world, how we could achieve oneness, how we can improve on our oneness or so. The Lord was not of this world. Let's read this in John 17 also. He says all that in John 17. Actually, it's enough to read the chapter John 17. In 17, verse 14, he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The Lord was not of this world. In the world, there are many struggles to be one, many trials to be one in the religious world, but also in the worldly world. There are many endeavors to be one. But I have to praise the Lord here with the Father and the Son, we see true oneness.
Und das sollte uns schon nachdenklich machen, oder?
And this should make us think.
Dass wir noch mehr den Herrn auch suchen. Herr, zeige du.
And we should seek the Father more. And pray, Lord, show me more how you are one with the Father. Give me life. I want to see it. I want to see more. I want to see it again. Say it again that it's not sufficient just to know. Many people, a whole big church, says that God, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. But to know that, it doesn't help. To have that doctrine of a Trinity does not help. It's not use, of no use. What we need is the Father and the Son himself. Because this oneness is the oneness that is important and that we are talking about here. This is really the focus of all. And the Father, this is the Father's good pleasure. If he sees that, this is the Father's good pleasure. I want to stress that again, that the Lord was fully one with the Father in everything he did. In one verse, at one point, he even said, in John 8:29, I'll read it to you. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. This is a really strong word. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And this is only, was only possible through this life. This life is what matters and what it's all about. It's not a thing to imitate him, to imitate that oneness, or try to be one as the Father and the Son. We're one, you can try. I don't want to prevent you from trying, but it will not work. What we need is the life. The life is the light of man, the life of God. And this is what draws people, what attracts people. The life, if we only have a good doctrine, may nice sound nice and be a deep word, but the life of the Lord is what is attracting people. And the other day, I read a verse in Matthew 5. Here in John 5:14 or Matthew 5:14, he says, "You are the light of the world." I think Matthew 5, he said, yeah, Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world." He said, didn't say, try to be, or you shall be. This is my commandment, to be the light. He said, you are the light. And this is impressive, that this just comes out of the life of the Lord. You don't need to do anything to have it. Just, it comes out of the life of the Lord. When you permit this life to live in you, when we open up more to this life, then this light comes out. And I'd like to read another verse in 1 John.
Da heißt es nicht, da redet Johannes über
Here it says that John spoke about the Lord and said what was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes, and our hands handled concerning the word of teaching, right? No, that word of life. Word of life.
Und dann sagt er, und das Leben ist offenbart worden.
So, First John 1:1 and 2. And he said in verse 2, and the life was manifested. I praise the Lord this morning that life has been manifested. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and report to you what? The teaching of oneness? No. The eternal life. We announce, declare to you eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. This is really impressive. We can speak life today. Praise the Lord. The Lord spoke words of life. Life was manifested through him. He was a real man who continued to achieve God's purpose. So it is good to behold him. That doesn't mean that we should only read the Gospels to see him, but to behold him in the Word, in the whole Word, that is. The whole Old Testament already speaks about him, right? Of course, the Gospels are precious, and I love to read them, because they show the Lord as a man who displayed the Father. He didn't do a lot of things, a lot of conspicuous and loud things, but he lived a normal life on this earth. And at 30 years of age, he started to manifest the Father. No, before already, but there he started his public service, public ministry. And this is what it's all about, to see that Lord, to see that Jesus. And in C, I wrote, the oneness between the Father and the Son is a blessing for the whole universe. I think there are, these were just two points. We could add more. The outline, of course, is not complete. This was not my intention, actually. We want to see the Lord, that who made God's life manifest as a son, as a man. And he manifested the Father, and we can see him. And I want to say that something new happened, something new came into being. I think we read that verse yesterday in John 1. John 1:17, it says, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and reality came through Jesus Christ. Grace and reality came through Jesus Christ. Something came. Something came that was not there before, which was new, that was grace and reality, truth or reality. He became reality. Anything else was a shadow, but through Jesus Christ, the reality came into being. Praise the Lord for that. Today we have the reality. We don't just have a shadow, or we do something that points to the truth, but we have the truth, the reality. Jesus is the reality. Through him it came into being. Praise the Lord. The Lord is really wonderful. And this mystery must be uncovered more and more and discovered that God can be made manifested in the flesh. But I'm encouraged to get more into this oneness. As the brother said yesterday, it really touched me that here in the church also we should ask, what is the basis? Where does this oneness come from? Does it come from a doctrine? Or does it come from life? the Lord's life. We need the Lord's life. It must be released more out of us and must be manifested more in us. And this should be also our prayer. Now we can have some more fellowship.